today's shiur will be beginning from the top of Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph in Maseches Bava Basra. We recommend that you print out the Daf Gemara, and even better, you ought to order your own personal volume of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. As we saw last time, Rav Huna presented a din on Ayin Aleph Omid Aleph, where he said that one who sells a field and retains for himself two trees, he retains for himself not only the trees, but also the land under the trees. When Rav Huna was presented initially, the Gemara mentioned that this din was in conformity to Rabbi Akiva as well, that even though Rabbi Akiva holds Hamocher Bayin Yofe Mocher, that when one sells something, he sells everything, including pathways to boros, even though one might be retaining a bor. In other words, when one sells land, he sells all of the land. In this case, where one's selling the land but retaining for himself trees, he's not selling all of the land, but rather most of it, yes, but not the land under the trees. I think Moore made a distinction between boros and trees. The Gemara then on Amud Beis, Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, said that Rav Huna's din cannot conform to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, but rather Rav Huna's din is limited to the Rabbanan. And that was because we had introduced a shita of Rabbi Shimon, who mentioned that when one's makdish a field, when one sanctifies a field, included in the sanctification are two significant type trees, the Chorv HaMurkav and the Sadan HaShikma, even though he didn't dedicate those trees outright, and even though in the case of sales, those type of trees would not be included in a sale. Nevertheless, those trees become hektish because they're drawing nutrients from a sanctified field. That particular din seemed to run against Rav Huna, who said that the land under trees that are retained, the land itself is not sanctified. Hence, the Gemara concluded that Rabbi Shimon aligns himself with Rabbi Akiva, and Rav Huna's din would be limited to the Rabbanan. At this point, the Gemara opens up with a question on that which we mentioned on the previous Amud. The previous Amud we had mentioned, and we have employed the use of arrows here in order to make the navigation a little bit easier. On Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, we mentioned that Reb Shimon parallels Shitas Rabbi Akiva. We bring that into question right now. And we're going to be doing this with a very long question marking. You'll notice that there's a kuf with a circle around it, a kushya, and a vertical dashed line that continues along the length of this entire Amud and goes till the top of Amud Beis. If you have a volume, you can flip the page and see that that's where the question ends. And if necessary, if you have this appears on the screen, you can scroll to Amud Beis and notice that. That means that in order to appreciate the question, one has to learn all of the Gemara till Amud Beis. In the course of the Limud, of course, we're going to encounter a number of new ideas, but at the end of this, we have to bear in mind that we're focusing ourselves on a question. The Gemara asks, "Umi motzis mukmis law the Rabbi Shimon k'Rabbi Akiva? Can we really set up Rabbi Shimon as holding like Rabbi Akiva? Shitas Rabbi Shimon would be, if he's like Rabbi Akiva, he would be saying that ba'ayin yofe makdish, that when one sanctifies a field, he does it ba'ayin yofe." And as such, when he sanctified the field with the Chorov Amurkov and the Sadan HaShikma in it, He was in effect sanctifying the land under the trees as well. The Gemara asks, V'ha'a Tanya, but we have another Tanaic source. This source, I'm going to note ahead of time, has no name in it. The Gemara is going to be analyzing who does this source go like. Eventually, we're going to be having the source a source taught by Rabbi Shimon. And then we're going to be asked Rabbi Shimon, who was a later Tanaic figure, who was he basing his information on? And we're going to see, by the time we get to the bottom of the Omid, and we've used a dashed underline in order to draw your attention to this, that this is going to be Rabbi Shimon, and he's going to be holding like the Rabbonim. And the phrase that we've dashed underlined Rabbi Shimon's name, the bottom of the page, and it says there, Makdish Nami Ba'ayin Ro'a Makdish. So that if up till now, at the beginning of the Omid, we've set up Rabbi Shimon as holding like Rabbi Akiva, that he was Makdish Ba'ayin Yofeh, by the end of this Omid, we're going to be seeing a source assigned to Rabbi Shimon, but Makdish Ba'ayin Ro'a. Hence, we will not be able to set up Rabbi Shimon like Rabbi Akiva. What does it say? V'ha Tanya, the following source. How do I know that it's a source? Because in the marking system, Tanaic sources are surrounded by frames. Tanaic sources, including Mishnayos and Brises, and at times the Gemara restates these sources with Chisuri Mechasra or Eima Hochi. In all events, we treat them as Tanaic sources with a frame around them. The source begins, Hikdish Shloisha Ilonos Mimata Asora Lebeis Sa'ah. A person dedicated to the temple fund three trees that are planted equidistant in a field that has the measure of a Beisah, it's a dimension. We've been learning Maseches Bava Basra along with a volume of illustrations, a book of illustrations authored by Rav Chaim Porush. An illustration that accompanies this particular source is illustration 619, 619. In that you see a field with trees planted in the field. And the field has dimensions to it. There are other details that accompany the illustration that are explained in the Rashbam. As far as the book is concerned, he also recommends looking at an illustration on a previous Gemara, illustration 414, where you see three trees planted in an area of a base saw. So a fellow dedicated three trees planted in a base saw that were planted equidistant from one another. Hare hikdish esakarka ves ha'oilonos shebeinehem. Included in the sanctification is the land and small trees that may exist between them. Lefikach kishu poide. Therefore, when he comes to redeem the field, if this fellow, after sanctifying the field, wants to regain ownership of it, so that when the Yovel year, the Jubilee year, comes along, it doesn't leave his possession and go to the Kohanim. Therefore, when he comes to redeem the field, he redeems it according to the Torah rate. The Torah rate is a rate that is specific for the redemption of fields dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. Lefikach kishu poide, poide beis zera chomer seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. He's able to redeem the field with the trees in it at that rate. That's the Torah rate. A beis zera chomer seorim is an area, and the rate per base zera chomer sorim is 50 shekel kesef, 50 shekel. However, pochos mikano yoser al kain, if the trees are not planted in an equidistant fashion over the base sa'ah, but they're more sparsely planted or more densely planted, the Rashbam says under the Gemara, pochos mikan, if the trees are less, the space between them is less than what we see in the illustration, choshev yair, it's considered like a forest, v'sofa litlash, kedei l'shoslan yofe. When trees are planted too densely, the owner eventually thinks of uprooting them and spreading them out more. O yoser mikan, the Rashbam says, ein akarka tzorich lehen. If there's a greater distance between the trees, let's say you have a base saw, and there's one tree in the base saw. So the base saw is much too great an area to benefit a singular tree. That's what the Rashbam means when he says ein hakarka tzorich lehen, v'havei kemakdish ilon echod, she'eno makdish karka. V'chi hai gavno nami tanya gabi mocher sholosh ilonos, v'perka mocher sasfina. And a similar consideration comes up when the issue of selling three trees, does one get the land along with the trees, as is discussed in the next perek, Mocher Sasfina. Hence, our source goes on, Pochos mikano yosir alkein, o shehikdishan boze achar ze. Or, if he sanctified the trees, but not three trees together, three in one shot, but rather one after the other, hareze lo hikdish, lo hakarka, v'lo eso ilonu shebeinehem. In such a case, he's not dedicating the area around the trees, nor the little trees between them. In effect, he's dedicating isolated trees. True, it might be at the end of the day three trees, but they're three separate trees, as opposed to the opening case of this source that had him dedicating three trees together in one shot. Lefikach, keshu podeh, podeh eso ilonus b'shav yehen. Therefore, if he comes to redeem these trees, he has to redeem the trees at market value. There is no Torah rate that covers trees. That's as opposed to the opening case, that there exists a Torah rate for redeeming land. V'lo od, elo afilu hikdish eso ilonos. V'chozar v'hikdish es hakarka. Imagine a fellow who dedicated the trees separately, one after the other, and then after he dedicated three trees, he then dedicated the land under them, all of the land, the field that contained these trees. Nevertheless, kishu poide, poides ilonus b'shavien, when he comes to redeem the trees, he redeems the trees as a separate entity, according to their market value. V'chozer poide be'zerach u'mersorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. And as far as the field is concerned, he'll redeem the field at the Torah rate, namely 50 shekel per base zera chomer sorim. With that, we come to the end of the source. Money. We're curious to know who is this brisa that says that one is makdish, he's makdish ba'ayin ra'ah. The Rashbam, the lower part of the page, there's a Rashbam, Moni Hach Braisa, Tikotoni Poide B'Shavyehen, that when one comes to redeem the trees, he redeems them at their market value. The Mashma, the Afilu Mokom Hoilonus Lo Higdish. That when dedicating the trees, he wasn't dedicating any land along with them, because the rule is that land, when it's redeemed at the Torah rate, not the market value. In the source, we saw the trees being redeemed at a market value. Mashma, that the trees are totally separate and have no association with the land on which they're located. So that's, as the Rashbam points out, it's mashma that even the spot under the trees was not part of the dedication. Rather, what must be that when he dedicated the trees, and we saw the trees being redeemed at market value, the trees and only the trees were part of the dedication and not the land under them. Because once again, if the land was part of the dedication, we would have seen some reference to the land being redeemed at a Torah rate. So what is this? This is a case where you have him dedicating b'ayin ra'ah. Heichad lo hikdish gimel b'yachad. Unless you have a case where he dedicated the three at once. But if he didn't dedicate the three trees at once, he was in effect dedicating isolated trees and not the land under them. So who holds like that? The Gemara continues. E neimo Rebbe Akiva ha'omar mocher b'ayin yofe mocher v'kol shekein makdish. As far as Rebbe Akiva is concerned, when one sells, he sells with an ayin yofa, with a spirit of magnanimity. And certainly when he's makdish, we're adding, and we've noted between the lines, even if he was makdish less than three trees, nevertheless, if he was makdish two trees, let's say, lefi Rebbe Akiva, he would have been makdish at least the land under them. V'i Rabbonan, if this unnamed source were the Rabbonan, Ho Amri Mocher Hu Debayin Ro Mocher Avo Makdish Bayin Yove Makdish. As far as the Rabbonan and their sheet of Ayin Ro, that's only as far as sales are concerned. But as far as Makdish, even the Rabbonan agree that one is Makdish Bayin Yove, and yet we have a source here that has the fellow was makdish trees and not the land under them. And how do we know that? Because we saw the source say that when it came to redemption of the trees, he redeems the trees at market value. No reference made to the Torah rate of redemption, which is something characteristic of land. So, who is the author? Ela, Pshita, Rabbi Shimon hi. This Tanaic source must be Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon comes out saying that when one is makdish, he's makdish ba'ayin ro'ah. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Shimon alibo daman, Rabbi Shimon, who is a later Tanaic authority, who is he basing his idea on? E alibo de Rabbi Akiva, ho omar mocher ba'ayin yofe mocher v'chol shekein makdish. Rabbi Akiva holds that if a sale is done with ayin yofa, then certainly the case of makdish. Rabbi Akiva could not possibly entertain the idea of hekdish ba'ayin ro'ah. Ela pshita. Aliba de Rabbonan. It must be that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is within those that argue on Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbonan. The Kosovar Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon's opinion of the Rabbonan is as follows. Ki hechi de mocher ba'ayin ro'ah mocher, just like a seller sells with ayin ro'ah, makdish nami ba'ayin ro'ah makdish u'meshayer ara. That when one sanctifies things, sanctifies in this case trees, he sanctifies it leaving the land unsanctified. Well, if that be the case, v'yela kashya hoil v'yoinkim misadeh hekdish. What about the source that we saw in the name of Rabbi Shimon himself on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis that said that the Choruv Hamurkov and Sadan HaShikma were yonek from sanctified field, namely that the land under the trees was part of the sanctification. Here we have Rabbi Shimon saying that the land is not included with the trees. There we saw the trees included with the land. With that, we come to the end of our long question. So we have to resolve how we're going to set up Rabbi Shimon. On the one hand, we saw an attempt to set up Rabbi Shimon like Rabbi Akiva. We have an unnamed source that doesn't allow us to do that. We have an unnamed source that if we affix it to Rabbi Shimon, we see Ayin Ra'a Makdish. What about Rabbi Shimon though, back on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, where we saw Rabbi Shimon holding like Rabbi Akiva? Gemara continues. Ela, and notice we have a long answer marking indicated by the Tuf Teretz, and this appears in the space between the Tosfos and the Gemara text, vertical dashed line, indicating that all of these lines are part of the answer. Ela Rabbi Shimon l'divrayim d'rabbonon ka'amar lehu. Of course, we notice the triangle pointing down, but the point down in this particular sukya, we understand we're dealing with an answer. Rabbi Shimon is really representing his own, he has his own opinion, but in this case, we see Rabbi Shimon, who is representing or talking to the Rabbonon on their terms. This will become clearer as we go on in the Gemara. Lididi, says Rabbi Shimon, as far as I'm concerned, ki hechi de mocher ba'ayin ro'o mocher makdish nami ba'ayin ro'o makdish v'shiyure m'shayer. Just like when one sells, he sells with the ayin ro'o state of mind, so too when one is makdish, he's makdish with the ayin ro'o state of mind, and he retains for himself. Therefore, if a person was makdish a field, he would be makdish the field only and not other things along with it. Lididchu, however, according to you, the Rabbonon, that in the case of makdish, you were willing to say is makdish ba'ayin yofeh, odu li miha, at least admit to me, the lohikdish ela choruv hamurkov v'sadan hashikma, that only those trees are included in the sanctification, and not like you said, that in sanctification, pits are included, and bird coops are included, and everything else that otherwise in sales wouldn't be included, but in Hegdish would be included. V'amri le Rabbonon, lo shna. And the Rabbonon respond to Rabbi Shimon, no, we make no distinction between the Chorov HaMurkov, Sadan Shikma, and the other things. Namely, just like the Chorov HaMurkov and the Sadan Shikma are included in the dedication, so too the other items as well. Therefore, if we take stock of all the sources we've learned, the source on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, where Rabbi Shimon appeared and he was circled, that source was not Rabbi Shimon's personal opinion. That was Rabbi Shimon addressing the Rabbonon. And that's why we saw that the Choruv Amurkov and the Sadan HaShikmo had an association with the land. Because that was not Rabbi Shimon himself, but Rabbi Shimon in light of the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon held that when one was makdish, they're makdish ba'ayin yafeh. However, on Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, where we had an unnamed source, that unnamed source indicated that if someone was makdish two trees, the trees and only the trees were part of the Hekdish, not the land with them, indicating a Hekdish, Ba'ayin Ra'ah. That's Rabbi Shimon's own opinion. We can say, ironically, when Rabbi Shimon appeared Beferush, that wasn't really Rabbi Shimon's real personal opinion. Where you had an unnamed source, that was really Rabbi Shimon's personal opinion. However, we're not at the end of the sugya. At this point, we continue with a question, as is indicated by a triangle facing with the point upwards, and a long question marking that you find in the space between the Gemara and the Rashi. You notice a kuf encircled with a long vertical dashed line. In fact, the main point of the question will actually be much shorter. A large section of Gemara that is contained in brackets will serve as background to the question. We'll discuss that further when we get to it. The Gemara continues. B'mai ukimta lo. How did we establish the Taneig source that we saw on Omid Aleph? K'Rebbe Shimon. We set it up like Rebbe Shimon. We presented him as holding Makdish Ba'ayin Ro'a Makdish, and hence when he dedicated the two trees, they were dedicated in isolation, separate from the field, no land accompanying the trees, because of this idea of Ayin Ro'a, trees and only the trees. Fine, that's Rabbi Shimon, but Amos Sefer, state the concluding section of that source. We've also used arrows in the space between the Tosfos and the Gemara so that you can find where this quote comes from. The Seifa says, and we've learned this already, V'lo oid elo afilu hikdish es ha'ilonos. If a person had sanctified the trees, v'chozar v'hikdish es ha'karka, and then sanctified the land under the trees, where you would have a situation of shalosh ilonos, Le mata base sa'ah. Even so, Kishu Poida, when it comes to redeeming, he doesn't redeem it as one field and follow the Torah rate, but rather, Poida Seilonus Bishav Yehen, he treats the trees as a separate entity, and they're redeemed at the market value. V'chozer Poida base Zerachomer Sa'orim B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. And then, and a separate act of redemption redeems the field itself at the Torah rate of 50 shekel kesef per area of base chomer, base zera chomer sorim. The E, Rabbi Shimon, if that unnamed source was really Rabbi Shimon, lezel bosar pidyon, follow the circumstances at the time of redemption. Venifriku agav arayhu, and let the trees be redeemed together with the land. Because at the point of redemption, what's the situation? The trees and the land are sanctified. True that at the point of dedication, they were dedicated separately. But at the point of redemption, namely that latter point in time, when he came to redeem it all, they were in fact one unit, tree and field together redeemed, sanctified. Deha Shaminon lay the Rabbi Shimon de Ozil Boser Pidyon, for we have heard Rabbi Shimon to hold thusly, that when it comes to matters of redemption, follow the situation as exists at the time of redemption, as opposed to what things were earlier. At this point, really, the question ends. If this be the case, then we need to see an answer, and that's found after this bracketed section. We'll just glance down a little bit, and you see the end of the brackets. You can find that by following the dotted vertical line between the Gemara text and the Tosfos. If you follow that down, you'll find the line at which the bracketed section ends. At that point, the Gemara says, Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, Le'olam be'almo Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon loy azli bosar pidyon. They don't follow the circumstances at the point in time where the fellow is interested in redeeming. Well, if that be the case, then I understand the source on Omen Aleph that said the trees are redeemed separately from the field. That even though at the time of redemption it seems to be they're all sanctified and it should be treated as one unit, nevertheless, Rabbi Shimon does not follow that point in time, namely, point in time of redemption. However, we have to ask ourselves what led us to think that he does. That is found in the bracketed section. Hence, the Gemara had asked before the brackets, if the source on Omen Aleph is really Rabbi Shimon, but we know Rabbi Shimon to hold that you determine things as they are at the point of redemption. In the bracketed section, we have all of the background for this Havamina, for this thought. That's indicated also at the beginning of the bracketed section. You notice an asterisk that draws your attention to the note on the inside margin. Besoicha sograim muvah hanisayon laharois de Rabbi Shimon ozil boser shas pidyon. We're going to try to show you how there is to understand the background for his Havamina that you follow point of redemption. Let's glance at the topic heading on the outside margin, the nosei, and we indicated besocha sograyim, the topic that's in the bracketed section, machloikas tanoim likboya ma nechshav sdei achuza. We're going to find a machloikas tanoim concerning what is considered a sdei achuza b'mikre in a case shelokach soda me'oviv, where a fellow purchased a piece of land from his father. There'd be two circumstances. One, hikdisha v'achakach meisoviv, a person bought a piece of land from his father, sanctified it, and then his father died. And a second case, meisoviv v'achakach hikdisha, just flipping around order of events, where first the father died and then the fellow redeemed it. However, before we can go on with the Gemara itself in the bracketed section, we must introduce some new ideas. There's something called a stay achuza, and there's something called a stay mikne. A stay achuza is a field that one inherited from his father, and his father inherited in turn from his father, back to Yoshua ben Nun, back to the time that the Eretz Yisrael was distributed amongst the tribes. The din of stay achuza includes halachas concerning the sanctification of a stei achuza. We saw today already that when one comes to redeem a sanctified stei achuza, one, again, inherited a field from his father, and he sanctified it, and he wants to redeem it, there's a Torah rate of redemption. And that's called Zera Chomer Seorim B'Chamishim Shekel Kesef. For the sake of brevity, we'll refer to that as Torah rate. There's another type of field called a stei mikne. That's a field that one purchased from someone else. For the seller, it may have been his stei achuza. You came along and bought what is, as far as you're concerned, is called a stei mikne, purchased field. Purchase fields also may be dedicated. One sanctified it, dedicated and sanctified it to the Beis HaMikdash. When he comes to redeem it, the redemption there follows market value, not Torah rate. By the way, the concept of Torah rate basically says that once you have this given area, the 50 shekel, what's for the area known as Beis Zera Chomer Sorim, we don't pay attention to the quality of the field. It might be rocky field, might be very fertile ground. It gets a standard, a fixed Torah rate. When we talk about market value, obviously we take into consideration the quality of the field. Hence, when dealing with a stei mikne, there's one standard of redemption. When dealing with a stei achuza, we deal with a different standard of redemption. We've introduced already by reading our note for this, as far as the topic heading is concerned, a situation where a person doesn't inherit from his father, he rather bought a field from his father. If he wouldn't have bought the field from his father and the father simply passed away, that very same field would be a simple stay achuza. But that didn't happen in our case. Rather, as we said, we're going to see two cases. One is both cases involve a son buying a field from his father. Then what happened? Depends. In the case where the son dedicated the field and then the father died, as opposed to a case where the father died first and then the son dedicated it. In the second case, where the father died first, what was the son dedicating? There, it's fairly obvious, he was dedicating what was at that point a stay achuza. Why do I say that? Because the father died first. He first passed away and then the dedication took place. So he was dedicating a field that was no longer possibly associated with his father. The father passed away and only then the dedication set in. The first case was where the son first sanctified the field and only later on the father died. When the father died, the field was not in the son's possession. As far as which case is a bigger chiddush, if you want to choose to classify one of these cases, if you had a choice, which one of these cases would be more likely considered a stay achuza situation? So the case of first Meis Aviv and then Higdisha, that would be more likely a case of stay achuza. And just to remind ourselves, stay achuza means that redemption is going to follow the Torah rate. With that introduction in mind, before we read the text, let's draw our attention to some markings that we've used to show that in the text itself, we, through the use of markings, we can illustrate these two cases. We have a Tanaic source, and you can see that goes into the wide lines because this entire section is in a frame indicating this is the Tanaic source. You notice we have used double underlines. If you follow the double underlining and the squiggle underlining, you'll notice the two cases we presented in the text itself. The first one, you notice V'hikdisha is double underlined, then it says V'acharkach with a squiggle underline, V'acharkach Meis Aviv. That's the dedication first and then the father dying. And then a little later in the source, you find the other case of Meis Aviv and then the dedication. The second case that's in the source is actually the simpler of the two cases. If we want to classify something as a stay achuza, the second case would be the more likely case, or the more easier to understand case of being a stay achuza. The nafka min in all of this discussion is, if that son comes along and wants to redeem that which he dedicated, what is going to be the redemption rate? Let us continue now in the Gemara, bearing in mind that we're eventually focusing on is the issue of Rabbi Shimon. It seems to hold, you follow the situation as things are at the time of redemption. Desanya, minayin lelokeach soda me'oviv. From where would we know the case of someone buys a field from his father, v'higdisha, v'acharkach meis oviv. The son first dedicated the field, and then the father died. Because when the father died, the field was not in the son's possession. Minayin shetehe lefonav kistei achuza, that even this case, and kol shekein, the other case, where first the father died, and then the son dedicated. How do you know that even this case would be considered a stay achuza? Talmud loymar ve'im es stay miknosoi asher loy mistay achuzaso. That pasuk is addressing a case of a simple stay mikne. Sode she'ein reuya liyo stay achuza. The stay mikne rate would be applied to a field that's not fit, not has no potential of being a stay achuza. Yotze sazu, to the exclusion of this case, Shiruya Liosteahuza, the very Rabbi Yehuda, for Rabbi Shimon. What does that mean that this involved a field that had potential of being a Steahuza? Because we were dealing with the case of a son buying his father's field. That field in potential could have been a Steahuza. True, in this case, the son bought it and dedicated it, and it's already out of his possession, and only later on the father died. Nevertheless, it's a kind of field that in potential could have been a Steahuza. Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir is going to say, I have this posuk, and I cannot extend this posuk to teach me something beyond the simplest of the cases. Minayin lelokeach soda me'aviv, umes aviv. First the father dies, v'achar kach hikdish, and then the son dedicated it. Namely, at the point of dedication, it really was a stei achuza, because the father died beforehand. Minayin shetei lefon of kestei achuza, from where would I know that this case will be treated as a stei achuza? The nafkamina being that when the son comes to redeem it, he'll be able to redeem it lefi according to the Torah rate. Talmud lomar v'im es stei miknasoi asher lo mistei achuzaso. Sode she'eino stei achuza. What's a stei mikne? A field that's not a stei achuza. Yosezazu shehi stei achuza. To the exclusion of this case, which is a stei achuza at the point of sanctification. This, of course, is in contrast with the case before, where at the point of sanctification, the father was still alive. That was not a stei achuza being dedicated. This is a stei achuza that's being dedicated. Ve'ilu Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon, we're going to skip the bracketed section, Hecho dehikdisha v'achar kach meis aviv, the case of sanctification of the field purchased from his father and only afterwards the father dying, which was essentially their topic. That was the topic that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon were dealing with. Minolahu, how will they know that din? How do they know that in that case it would be treated as a steahuza? Imehaikra, if you think you're going to learn it from the posuk that they quoted, Emo, I will tell you, lichd Rabbi Meir hu da'asa, that the posuk is coming to teach Rabbi Meir's din, namely the simpler din. Who's to say that the posuk is teaching me something more extreme? Namely, when you're presented with two possibilities, what to extrapolate from a posuk, you don't have a right to go and assume the greater novelty. You assume the more obvious first. So the more obvious case is the case that Rabbi Meir featured. And you can once again look back at your markings and you see, namely the case where first the father died and only later on did he sanctify it. That's a real stei achuza being sanctified. So how do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, focusing right now on Rabbi Shimon, how does he know that even the first case, namely first sanctified and then father died, how does Rabbi Shimon know that that's treated as a stei achuza? Elolav mishum de'azli boser pidyon. Rather, it's because they look at the situation at the point of redemption. At the point of redemption, what's the story? The father's gone. So call it a stei achuza. Don't look at the point of sanctification, but rather look at the point of pidyon. Oh. So let's just recapitulate. At this point, we've proven that Rabbi Shimon has a svora, that you determine redemption rates by looking at the situation at the point of redemption. What about the source on Omer Aleph? We saw a fellow dedicate trees separately from the field, and only later on he dedicated the field. What did the source say as far as redemption is concerned? On Omer Aleph it said you treat the trees separately. You don't view them as part of the field. Ah, but at the point of redemption, the trees and the field were sanctified. So why is it that they were not treated as one unit of sanctified field? That is our question. After all, we know that Rabbi Shimon says, look at things as they are at the point of redemption, the latter point in time. The Gemara answers, Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, l'olam be'almo Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon loy azli boser pidyon. As far as the din of Stei Achuzah, as well as everything else, they don't look at things at the point of redemption. That's very good as far as understanding the source on Amud Aleph. It's true that at the point of redemption, the field is sanctified and the trees as well, but we don't focus at that point. We focus at how things were at the time of dedication. If that be the case, what about Rabbi Shimon over here that says that we treat as a Stei Achuzah even that, even the case of the sanctification taking place first, namely a non-Stei Achuzah was being sanctified? Why is it that it is treated as a Stei Achuzah? V'hacha kro ashkechu v'dorish. Here, in the case of the son and the field that he bought from his father and everything that we said above, that's a function of a unique element in the pasuk. The Gemara explains and focuses on this uniqueness in the pasuk. Im kein, if the pasuk was teaching only the simple case, namely the Rabbi Meir case, lichtoiv kra, the pasuk could have said, following the text of the Rashbam, we're going to be skipping these the bracketed sections in the Gemara. The text, the pasuk should have said, "Asher loy stei achuzasai." What's a stei mikne? That which is not a stei achuza. My mi stei achuzaso. What is the value of the mem that's found in the pasuk itself? And we've highlighted the mem by the squiggle underline. What is indicated by that expression, mi stei achuzaso? Es she'eno ru'uyo liyo stei achuza. That type of field that even in potential would not be a stei achuza, only that kind of field is called a stei mikne, which is treated as far as redemption at market rates. Yotzazu, to the exclusion of this case, namely the case where he sanctified it, though it wasn't yet a stei achuza, and only later on the father died. Shibru'uyo liyo stei achuza. This kind of field had in potential the ability to be a stei achuza. At this point in the Gemara, we can briefly review what we've said as far as Shitas Rabbi Shimon is concerned. Rabbi Shimon has an idea that not only mocher ba'ayin ro'a mocher, but even makdish ba'ayin ro'a makdish. And that's how we were able to understand the unnamed source on Amud Aleph, where we saw the trees were being dedicated in isolation from the ground under them, that the dedication was limited to the trees and not including something else. Things were not included with it. This is a third shita in the scheme of things, as opposed to the Rabbi Akiva shita who held not only mocher bayin yofeh mocher, but makdish, certainly makdish bayin yofeh makdish, and the Rabbanan who held that even though mocher bayin ro'a mocher, makdish is makdish bayin yofeh. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new geometric form. In order to appreciate it, let us glance at the note on the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh, the topic heading, and the structural note in one. The house form are Shnei Dinim Shel Rav Huna, Shebechol Achas Mita'er Dovar Mesuyam Sheyesh Lo Beis Tchunos. There are two halachas of Rav Huna, that in each case, he's going to be illustrating something, an item that has two aspects to the same item. Omar Rav Huna, Choruv Hamurka V'Sadan HaShikma. These special trees that we've seen already time and time again. Toras Ilan Alov V'Toras Karka Alov. These expressions will be explained as the Gemara goes on. Toras Ilan Alov. They have the categorization of tree. Dehecho de Akdish Ozovin Shnei Ilonos Vehai, where a person either sanctified or bought two trees and one of these, namely a total of three trees. Yesh loy karka. Then, along with the purchase of these three trees, he gets the ground along with him. That's the din of a person who buys three trees. He gets the ground along with them. And we saw this actually earlier, where he gets the ground along with him and all the little trees between them. That's a halacha of tree. Torah's karka alav, the chorav hamurkav and sanan hashikma have a din of karka on them in the following sense, delo mizdavein agav ka'aro. They're not acquired along with a piece of land. Namely, when a person buys a piece of land, and on that land there's a chorav hamurkav, he doesn't get that along with it, as opposed to something that has a din of a tree. What's the din? If a person buys land and something, and there's trees growing on it that have a din of a tree, are categorized as trees, they get the trees along with the land. This, because it has a din of karka, is not acquired along with the land. The Omer of Huna, Oimer Shiesh Bo Sosayim, a bundle of sheaves of grain, stalks of grain that are bundled up into a sheaf, into a bundle, we'll call it. And this omer contains two sa'a. Toras omer olav, v'toras godish olav. It has both aspects. It's considered a bundle, and it's also considered a godish. We'll see the application as the Gemara goes on. Toras omer olav, the shnei oimrim equals shikha. If a person, when collecting sheaves from his field, he walks by two and doesn't pick them up, then he has no right to go back and pick them up. He has to leave them for the poor. However, shnayim vehu, einon shikha. There's a din that if a person walked by three bundles, he's allowed to come back and pick them up. What about if the three bundles were really two smaller bundles and one of these that have two saw in it, in the bundle itself? It would still have a din of a bundle. It wouldn't be considered a separate entity. And hence these three would join up together, allowing him to go back and pick them up. Toras godish olav desnan. Oimer shiesh boi sosayim vishacho. A bundle of grain that has a measure of two saw in this one bundle, v'shachachoy, and he walked by it, ain no shikha. In collecting the bundles, he walked by this one large bundle. It's not considered shikha. Hence, it's not treated as a din of a simple omer, because a singular omer, if a person walked by it, he's not allowed to go pick it up. This singular one, he is allowed. Omar Rabba Barachana, Omar Reish Lakish. The appearance of Rabba Barachana here at the end of this perek has a certain amount of significance in light of the fact that at the beginning of the next perek, his name, Rabba Barachana, is going to figure very prominently. The Gemara says here, Choruv Hamurkov, Vesadon Hashikma. When dealing with these two types of trees, the question of whether they're included in the sanctification of a field or not, when one sanctifies a field and there happens to be sitting on the field this type of important trees, the Chorva Murkav or Sadana Shikma, Bonu Lemachlekes Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, Verabonon. These two Tanoim would be arguing about that. According to the Rabbanan, who hold Makdish Bayin Yofim Makdish, so these trees would be included in the sanctification of that field. Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi would hold otherwise, that if one sanctifies a field, the Choruv, even though it's drawing sustenance from the sanctified field, it nevertheless is not sanctified. This opinion is something we've heard before. This is an opinion that resonates with the sounds of Rabbi Shimon. Before we go on in the Gemara, let's take a look at the Rashbam. Four lines from the bottom. The question of whether they're included in the sanctification or not. Bono lemachloik is Rabbi Nachan, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbonon. Dile Rabbonon, Kachi. The Rabbonon hold that one who sanctifies a field and this tree is present thereon, they're also there. It's included. Debayin Yofe Makdish, Kedistam Masisin, as we've seen already in the Mishnah. For Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Debayin Ro Makdish. Viafilu Chorov Sheyoinek Min Hasode Lo Kodish. Even if it's drawing sustenance from the field, it doesn't mean that the tree itself is holy. Deba'ayin ro kolkach hikdish es hasodeh. Sheshir min hasodeh letzorich yinikas choruv shaloi. That when he dedicated the field, he dedicated with such an ayin ro, such a limiting aspect, namely, not even all of the field is dedicated. The land under the trees remains undedicated to the hikdish. Hence, when these trees are drawing their nutrition, they're drawing it from unsanctified ground. The Rashbam goes on, explains Sheshir min asode, letzorech yinikas chorav shalot ukedepreciously ale. As we explained above, Rabbi Shimon ledivrayim derabonon komar lehu. Rabbi Shimon, when he was seen on Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, there he was speaking as far as the Rabbanan themselves were concerned. V'hachi havishmiya lei Reish Lakish Merabosav. This is the tradition Reish Lakish had from his Rabbanan, the Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Svir Olei Rabbi Shimon, that this particular Rav holds like the Tana Rabbi Shimon. Continuing in the Gemara. V'leimo machloikis Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. Why doesn't Rabba Bar Chana simply say that the issue of the choruv and the dedicated field, is it included in the dedication of field? Say that that's the machloikis Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. The Gemara answers, ho kamash malan, that by Rabba Bar Chana, Omar Reish Lakish, telling us what he did, he's informing us the Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Shimon Svir Olei, that Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi happens to hold like Rabbi Shimon. As far as these two lines of Gemara are concerned, in order to appreciate the depth of them, one is recommended to look into the Rashbam. However, for our purposes, we will conclude the Shir and the Perek at this point.